In a world filled with chaos and confusion, in an echo chamber filled with lies and deception, comes a ray of light. Live from Madison, Wisconsin, it's John and Gordy in the morning on 92.7 WMDX.
And another good morning to everyone out there. It's going to be a nice warm week so far, you know, that's what they're predicting. And John and Gordy in the morning will be here to share it with you each and every day.
That's right. Happy Monday. How you doing out there?
WMDX 92.7 on the old radio dial. You can also check us out digitally, stream us. This is something new. I've never experienced it before. Streaming? What is that? I'm just a caveman.
Yeah, you can watch on Facebook or YouTube.
You can do all these different things.
Got the Civic Media app. Yeah, just download the app. It's free to download, free to use. Just dial up WMDX, and there we are.
And you can send a voice note, too. We haven't gotten a voice note in forever.
I know. Yeah, is it still working? I don't know.
I think so, yeah.
Have we tested the phone lines today? just to make sure.
Right? See what's happening out there.
I think on Friday we lost it, right? We didn't. Was it Friday or Thursday?
I think it was Thursday.
Yeah, and we didn't know it, and we're just sitting here, you know, blindly doing our show and
just thinking, geez,
couldn't hear from anybody.
The phones are a little slow this morning. And eventually we caught on. Yeah, our number is 608-879-8255. Weather looks okay today. 43 degrees currently, up to a high near 57. But, John, there is an elevated fire condition warning out. Due to warm temperatures and breezy conditions today. An advisory is in effect all day today. And those winds are going to pick up out of the they're going to be up to 30 miles per hour. Warm temperatures, breezy winds. And low humidity, so burn anything out there.
It's time to take the John and Gordy advice and put your lighters away today. Do not take your lighters to work.
Leave your lighters at home.
That's right.
Okay. Good idea.
Another John and Gordy public service announcement.
That's right. Yeah, in a few minutes, we're going to check in with Pam Yonke. She's up in Green Bay. Of course, she probably was having a good time watching the Packers game until they lost.
Yeah,
it was quite the battle, I guess. But
Packers
did not win.
It's kind of interesting because they had a close game, and then the game after that was very close, and then the game after that was really close.
Bears and Bengals.
I love the fact that the Bears just pulled it out at the end.
Unbelievable! 47-42.
That was great stuff. I was watching it, and I like the Bears as competitors. I enjoy. Having them compete with the Packers. I want them to be really good, so they challenge the Packers.
Right.
And then that touchdown run at the end, it was just wow.
Unbelievable. Yeah, the Bengals were hit.
Bengals got a quick touchdown, and it looked like the end of the game.
Yeah.
And then suddenly a pass completed and all the way down the field.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
What was the game before that? Minnesota.
And that one is
Lions. Yeah, Minnesota and Lions.
Yeah.
And Minnesota beat the Lions, too.
They look good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They look really good.
Yeah, the Bengals, though, Joe Flacco, the quarterback, was having a game of his life. I mean, it was like it was all a done deal there till that 58-yard pass from Caleb Williams to Colston Loveland.
We're really not big on sports here. We're kind of novices.
We're observers.
We bring up the dumb things, the stupid things, like, oh, well, completed pass, 4 touchdown. Wow. These guys really know a lot about sports. But here's the thing, as I was watching, Flacco making that big pass.
Yeah.
And they looked like they were going to win the game. He takes his helmet off on the sidelines.
Yeah.
And my wife goes, wow, is he good looking?
That's what they all say.
I didn't know that. I don't know anything about Flacco.
My girlfriend said the same thing.
Really?
Yeah. She said that same exact thing. Exact same
thing.
Wow.
All right. Well, we have something to
there we go
to carry with us now mm-hmm. in our insecurities, you know.
And, of course, we went to a Halloween party over the weekend at Chris Casper's house. That was fun. Good times there. And then went back to my apartment and watched World Series game number 7. And the Dodgers.
Never ends. That was
Dodgers
a never
went into
game.
The 11th
I'm
inning.
So glad we left.
You
oh,
left.
Man.
I continued to watch. It was
an
unbelievable ending. Yeah, the Dodgers won.
You know, it sucked. It was an unbelievably sucky ending.
Didn't want the Dodgers to win.
No one wanted them to win.
They won last year.
They bought the series this year.
Well, they're the big money team, so yeah.
All right, so
it was an exciting finish.
Chris Casper, he cleans up around here? What does he do? He supplies
clean
the,
up around here. He's an engineer.
The water fountain.
No. He's in the engineering department.
Engineering department.
He's our engineer here at WMDX. He's in the control room there. Right now, but he's there later in the day.
Well, yeah, later in the day. I'm gone. I'm not here.
Yeah, I know. You're the door hits your ass at 8:01.
That's not true. But if I could do that, I would.
Right. It was great. He was dressed up as Beetlejuice at
yes,
the party.
He was, yeah.
And there were a lot of people there that we didn't know. There was not a lot of radio people there. There were other people. I guess Chris Casper's wife had a bunch of her friends there.
Yeah.
And there were several dogs running around. Started getting
a lot of them,
get into it for a while. But it was fun.
But
good time.
Did we post the Halloween picture of you and me at Chris Casper's?
I don't think we did. Maybe we can do that. I'll send it to Dom.
Yeah, I didn't even get it.
It was a monster shindig.
It was a fun time.
Yeah,
good times. Yep. Okay.
Well, I went as Dr. Strange.
Yeah. You looked very evil, though. You looked
at
you. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know.
Had that evil look to it.
Well, you normally take the your makeup pen and make it, you know, well, actually, you know, kind of bring down the eyebrows a little. I actually don't have eyebrows. They're not visible.
Not anymore.
Huh? Yeah, they're not visible. Yeah. And it's sickening. But we have to use an eyebrow pencil in order to make it look like I'm alive.
Yeah. Let's see.
I went as Garfield on Friday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I went out and went as Garfield, and it was super cozy.
Really?
But I overheated in the bars. I went to the bars.
Yes.
And it was the hottest thing in the world.
Yeah. You got to think of that next time you get a costume.
Yeah, I was sweating. Really hot. Yeah, it was.
You didn't faint, did you?
Didn't faint. I'm never going to let that down. No, you're never going to let that down.
That's true.
Were you wearing a costume at the Sylvie when you fainted?
I was not, no. But I was wearing a sweatshirt and I was wearing a beanie, so that's another. I could be it, too.
Yeah. You were in the mosh pit and just keeled over there.
Maybe next year, you know, you won't have to be so hot. Go as a stripper, you know, and then go.
What?
Dress up as a stripper and, you know, remove the clothes as you get hotter and hotter.
I'll keep that in mind.
Okay. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to check in with Pam Yonke and get the latest from the Midwest Food and Farm Report.
Yeah.
Apparently, we're going to discuss what's happening with the soybean, with the soybeans.
Well, there's
with
an
the
agreement
Wisconsin
that China will start
farmers.
Buying soybeans again. I'd like to know when that starts and how much they're going to get and whether it will have an impact on the farmers who have produced so many soybeans so far.
Mm-hmm. And today, there's no SNAP, no food share, apparently, that emergency
they're
funding.
They're getting their stuff together, right?
Are they?
They're doing it all at the last minute because of the court order. They couldn't have seen this coming. You know, that's my big frustration this morning.
What?
I mean, we are, is there no end to trying to own the Democrats, these megas out there? Is there no end to what they will do in order to make us suffer? Because then everybody suffers, and they suffer. Mm. And the idea that we don't need to feed the kids is really, really a dramatically horrific, cruel thing to do. And why aren't they getting lambasted more than they are in the media? I know that, according to polls, the Democrats are not blamed for this. But the point here is that they are doing this in a very cruel way. They continue to deny it's their fault, but they are the ones who are doing this. They are purposely preventing a vote on this simply because of the Epstein files. That's one of the reasons. But they don't want to reform health care. They don't want to improve it. They don't want to give people the chance to keep their health care. And I don't know what's going to happen. Look, I know
they don't have a plan.
I know all about health care. Mm-hmm. I've been following this since way, way back in the, you know, when Ron Johnson was running against the ACA, the Affordable Care Act. I know everything about this. And what happens here is when we make the decision, now that it's November, this is the time we sign up for the Affordable Care Act,
right,
and Medicare. So the problem here is that we don't know what those final monthly payments are going to look like. We're going to sign up for something that's so extreme and so expensive that it would kill us. But if we don't sign up, if we don't have that,
right,
what happens? Then we don't have health care. Or we sign up, but we're on the hook to pay those kinds of premiums instead of, and again, if they pass some kind of reform, which they have said they're not going to do, then, I mean, if they do pass reforms, then will that go into effect retroactively at the beginning of the year? And everybody's premiums will automatically adjust downward according to the premiums, premium support. So we'll see what happens. This is really this is total chaos. And I've got to say this, and this is one thing I know for sure, talking to my MAGA friend in Milwaukee, and we get that idea also from CJ, is that there is an element of their plan, of their worldview that depends on chaos. There's nothing stable about it. There's no reason that they want to make things predictable. They want things to be on the edge where we don't know what's going to happen next. They can do anything next. We don't know what's coming next. We can't run a society like this. We can't run a capitalist system like this. This is chaos. And this is what we knew we were going to get if Trump had won. We're getting it, and the media seems to just kind of glide past the fact that this is their comfort zone, this kind of chaos, not doing things where we can predict what's going to happen next. This is what we're getting, and I don't know how we're going to survive this for the next damn 3 years. Wow.
Well, and Trump's approval rating continues to slip and slide down.
Yes.
Approval rating is at 43%, according to some polls, even lower, down to 37%, I think, in the CNN poll. And the disapproval rating for him is up to 55%.
Wow.
So,
but, you know, when you're a dictator.
But he doesn't seem to care.
Who the hell cares?
Yeah, he doesn't care.
The polls say about you. If you're going to be a dictator, you just do what the hell you want. You know? Yeah. He wants to oust Maduro, and he's just like Maduro.
Down in Venezuela?
In Venezuela, yeah.
I
mean, everything is the same. He changed the courts down there. he lost the election but wouldn't leave. Everything is just out there. And he's doing just what Maduro did in Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell?
And on it goes.
I'm done.
That's it. I'm out of here. You're leaving now?
Yeah, I'm gone now.
Well, still got a lot of show to go. 19 minutes past the hour. Pam Yockey is with us right around the corner on John and Gordy in the Morning, WMDX.
As far as football rivalries, we're both number one. Still, we wouldn't mind seeing Ditka run over by a truck, because the Bears still suck.
I'm going to Cheeseland, Cheeseland, the Dells in Door County. I'm going to Cheeseland. Rednecks and trailers with families, and we are going to Cheeseland.
Normally, I can't put enough cheese on anything that I eat, so I love cheese. Yeah. This is John and Gordy in the Morning, WMDX 92.7.
It is now 6:23. Clear skies this morning. It's going to be mild and breezy today. 43 degrees currently, highs in the upper 50s. And elevated fire concerns because of the breezy, warm conditions.
Yeah, it's pretty dry out there right now.
Mm-hmm. And joining us now from the Midwest Food and Farm Report, Pam Yockey, Pam, you're up in Green Bay, I understand, this morning.
Yeah, and we did pick up about a tenth of an inch of rain overnight, according to what my weather guy told me. I let the dog out a couple hours ago and see that there's a pretty good coating of frost, too. But it was funny during the Packer game yesterday. So Saturday, when you walked the streets, the trees looked just fabulous. They were just full and looking gorgeous, perfect for pictures. And then as soon as everybody started showing up on Sunday, the wind picked up a little bit, and the streets are literally littered. I mean, you can't find pavement under all the trees. So I think the Ashwaubenon Snuffy is going to be out sucking up leaves to be quick at daybreak this morning.
Wow. Snuffy. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's incredible, because my lawn is also just filled with leaves as well, you know, and I'm hoping for a brush fire on the middle of the lawn just to take
really
care of that thing.
It's not a good idea.
No,
is it?
Actually, I have too many trees as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I couldn't get a homeowner's insurance from a specific insurer, one of the big ones, because I have vines on the exterior of my home. I have a kind of a cement siding that looks like stone.
Yep.
Yeah. And they wouldn't insure it. All the other companies do, but this one insurance company does not do it. Isn't that strange?
Wow.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Wisconsin's soybeans and what the situation is, because there was some new statement that came out on Friday, Pam, about this.
Yeah, there's been some developments over the weekend from what we understand, and most of it, as you can imagine, coming through social media. But on Friday, the Wisconsin Soybean Association issued a statement. They've obviously been watching the conversation between China and the United States, specifically for soybeans, for weeks now. They are happy to see that there's some movement, not a lot of movement, just kind of, you know, ancillary things that are happening. They said they also are very aware of the market that's already been lost. I mean, you know, the cat's been out of the bag for months now when it comes to China and its and lack of purchasing U.S. soybeans. So they said, you know, that's not going to get fixed anytime soon. So they anticipate that markets are going to still be under pressure right on into 2026. Mm. Then the U.S. Meat Export Federation over the weekend also made a statement. Apparently, China is starting to lower some of their trade restrictions. Some of it's phytosanitary. They get all clutched up about where the pork is coming from, what processing plants and things like that. But the catch is, in the United States, we actually have higher standards with our processing plants than they do in China. So it's just, you know, a battle back and forth. But apparently some of that eased up over the weekend, and the U.S. Meat Export Federation says that's good news, especially for U.S. pork, which is was a dominant player in that marketplace and now might be able to get back in. So, here we are, day number 33, and we're still hanging on to the knot, waiting to see when something's going to be resolved.
It's part of their big plan, chaos. We can't settle in on anything, you know. Nothing is predictable at this point. So the soybeans are really, that's kind of it, though, right? It really can't pick up from here.
Right. And, you know, the other thing, Sarah Stelter is past president of the Wisconsin Soybean Association. And on my show this morning, she made the point that they're sick and tired of basically waiting on the magic announcement on this. So they are really focusing a lot of attention on domestic use. Things like railroads. I did not realize that railroads were looking at soy alternatives for some of their fuels. We've heard about the jetliner fuels. That's in the works on a commercial scale. And then soy foam for firefighters. That's their big one that's been getting a lot of national attention, taking the, PCBs?
Yes.
That everybody's concerned about, getting that out of the way, and instead using soy-based foam that's just as good. So that's been catching some positive attention. But, you know, those things take a long time to develop. So they're going to stick to it, but recognize they need something on a bigger scale.
Well, the other big story is the ACA and the premium support. The farmers need this. They need it for the kids. They certainly need health care. And we're all just on pins and needles, wonder what's going to happen, because we don't know what the prices are going to be per month, premiums.
Well, and kind of like you said about your house, John, the situation, agriculture is considered a very dangerous occupation. So if you're a husband and wife, chances are you figure you're not going to see a doctor. You're just going to put duct tape on it and keep going. But then when you introduce kids, then all of a sudden everything changes, and you want to make sure the kids have all kinds of access, whatever they need, whenever they need it.
Yeah.
And obviously that's when you really start going in the deep waters on how much can you afford, what's the deductible got to look like. And like I said, agriculture is considered a dangerous occupation. And if you're a farm, you've got 50, if you've got 50 employees, you've got to make sure that you're offering health insurance by law. So again, ACA is where a lot of them turn to try to find something that's affordable because, you know, like you said, John, some of the insurance companies really don't want to be involved in insuring agriculture of any type.
Yes.
They don't understand it. They don't understand the complexities. And boy, when it comes to what the employees have to do, they're really out of touch. So you've got a limited pool of companies that want to deal with insuring agriculture of any type. And then you've got to look at the enhanced premiums and the risks. So like I said, it's not just average households, shall I say, that are looking for ACAs, but farmers are waiting on some answers too.
Yeah, it drives me nuts because, you know, farmers are small businesses and they do employ a number of people. And, you know, according to the administration, the ACA has been just a killer for small businesses. That's not true at all. Absolutely the opposite. So, yeah. All right.
Well, Pam, I don't want to make you long. We could get into that head over heels.
Oh, yeah, I know we could. I know.
Well, Pam, you have a good week, and we will check in again with you on Friday morning.
All right.
Good enough, boys.
All right.
See you later.
See you later. Very good. It is 6:29. We've got the Midwest Food and Farm Report coming up right around the corner here, and then we'll be back with Idiocracy for a Monday morning. It's John Peterson, Gordy Young, along with our producer, Dominic Lee. We'll be right back.
As the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point, a dumbing down.
God, I'm so stupid!
Stupid, foolish, gullible, doltish, dumbbell, lazy.
I'm an extremely stable genius. Okay.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff. It didn't happen. You are fake news.
That's the best stupid thing I've ever heard this week, man.
Idiocracy.
For the smartest guy in the world, you're pretty dumb sometimes.
Yeah. Yep. And that's why we just love this feature. You know? It's like reading through a Mad magazine or Cracked, as Todd would say.
Yeah.
He follows Cracked magazine. I like Mad.
Yeah.
But I had both, you know.
Right.
Used to read both of them.
I liked Mad magazine.
For balance.
Yeah. It's a good time. It is 6:36, and we have clear skies this morning. It's a mild 43 degrees. It's going to be breezy at times today, high near 57. And there are elevated fire concerns and an advisory, so don't burn any leaves or anything. And just don't burn anything today, okay? It's not the time to start up the grill outside. It's going to be windy up to 20 or 30 miles per hour, so, you know. Bad idea.
Uh-oh.
We don't want any fires.
Oh, damn.
What? Oh, were you out having a cigarette during the break? By the brush fire?
I must have forgotten the John and Gordy rule. Do not take your lighters to work today. It's
leave them at home.
Yeah, leave them at home.
Okay.
All right.
All right. By the way, we were going to talk to Steve Cochran from Chicago in our next hour, but we are postponing that interview
for
until a time when he can make it happen. So,
all right. Let's get to, today we're going to use Monday as a clearing out day today because, on Friday, we spent almost all the time celebrating Halloween and we missed all the big stories. And now, of course, the big story is Trump's interview on 60 Minutes.
Mm.
We might have a cut from that, but we really just have to get caught up. Because when you look at all of these stories together, you know which direction we're going in, and that's what it's all about.
Okay. Well, we can attempt to get caught up, but there's so much of it. Yeah, it's hard to do.
Well, here's...
Away we go.
This is not good, you know. I mean, we're talking about, you know, wildfires and trying to prevent them. It's really dry out there right now. Yeah. But Trump removed the wildfire data, over $100 billion in denial of climate change. So what he did was, now remember, NOAA used to collect all this data.
Right,
but they discontinued that important data. Now others are doing it instead, holding the government responsible. Eliminating this data really doesn't mean that it didn't happen. Okay.
Right.
So here's the report as it was reported on MSNBC. Let's listen to 213. Cut 213.
Okay, here we go.
It's the costliest wildfire event in American history. Hundreds of thousands evacuated their homes as wildfires raged across Los Angeles County, my hometown, for weeks in January. As of July 31st, 93% of filed insurance claims had been partially paid, totaling $20.4 billion. A Florida resident has been charged with igniting the fire that caused so much devastation. Firestorm, the great Los Angeles fires, and America's new age of disaster. These billion-dollar natural disasters have only become more frequent in recent years. Earlier this year, Donald Trump's administration eliminated a program to track the cost of extreme weather events exceeding $1 billion in damage through a federal database.
Beautiful, right?
So now a team of scientists, including our next guest, have kept up that work by tracking that same data through an independent nonprofit group called Climate Central. Joining us now is Adam B. Smith, Senior Climate Impact Scientist at Climate Central. Adam, it's great to see you.
Likewise. Thank you for having me.
What was it that motivated you to continue collecting this data? Why is it so important to have this data, and how is it used?
Yeah, we just heard so much feedback for the revival of this research to continue. Frankly, this data set was just too important to stop being updated.
Yes,
so many people were using it. Demand was coming from decision makers in many different sectors, local community leaders, Congress, academia, and even the general public, because it helps to frame history as we live through history to prepare for the future, and helps us better to prepare based on the information we live through.
A theme of what happened during the fires was the extraordinary amount of misinformation and disinformation that was coming out, particularly from the man who now sits in the White House. But it's not just the misinformation and disinformation, it's the categorical elimination of data as we know it. The consequences of not having data, like the data that you were collecting for literally hundreds of events over decades and decades of American history, are what going forward? If the federal government doesn't start this up again, what happens?
Okay.
There we go.
I didn't want you to cut it off like that, but yes, I just wanted to touch base on the fact that they've eliminated this really important data, over $1 billion in damage. It's gone. Mm-hmm. They don't need to know this. We don't need to know this.
Right.
Everything is fine. Don't worry about a thing.
Great.
Isn't that amazing? They're just removing data left and right.
Yeah.
The stuff we don't even know about.
Mm-hmm. That's our government.
Yeah.
Work for us. Keeping information from us.
I know.
That we need to know.
I know. You know, I'm looking up more information because we have some healthcare news too, but I was looking up all this healthcare information and it's just chaotic. You can't find anything at the government websites
CDC.
Anymore. Nothing makes any sense. And it's all, well, we don't know for sure and this is going to happen, but if we did this could happen. It's unbelievable.
Chaos.
It is truly chaos.
Well, and you can turn to other sources, Medical Association, but the
hospitals have their own websites.
Some of them have their own websites and have their own research, but a lot of their research depends on government research, too.
Yes,
so it's,
eventually it will.
Yeah.
In a year or two,
right?
There won't be any good research out there anymore.
Yeah, great.
Oh, man. Okay, now let's get to this kind of a weird story. A man who says he was detained by police for following an Ohio National Guard patrol while playing Darth Vader's theme song from Star Wars on his phone is suing D.C., claiming the officers violated his constitutional rights to play Darth Vader's Star Wars theme. It's called the Imperial March. And it is from the soundtrack, of Star Wars. And the soundtrack, it is used for a lot of peace protests out there. They want to at least get the message across that what we're doing now is we're taking Darth Vader's side. One of the troops summoned Metropolitan Police Department officers because of this guy playing Darth Vader's theme. And he was stopped at the O'Hare Airport and cuffed and taken away.
Wow.
Yeah. And according to his lawsuit, the law might have tolerated government conduct of this sort a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. But in the here and now, the First Amendment bars government officials from shutting down peaceful protesters. And here he is. He's giving us a little preview of what he was doing following the National Guard.
They didn't like that.
It sounds evil, doesn't it?
It does.
Interesting. I do like it.
Should we go to the phones?
Yeah, we've got a call here. Let's
Mark
go to the
phone. Mark is on the line this morning, 608-879-8255. Good morning, Mark.
Yeah, good morning, guys. It's something you were talking about earlier about, you know, ignoring disaster. It reminded me of the movie Eric the Viking. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but when the island is sinking into the ocean and the people are just standing around just singing because, no, this really isn't happening. You know, the island isn't sinking beneath our feet and
wow,
we're not all going to drown. That it's kind of reminds me of what we're seeing today.
What we're going through, yeah. What's the name of the movie?
Eric the Viking.
Eric the Viking, okay.
Yeah, it's a, you know, kind of a kind of a weird takeoff on the Norse mythology, but with kind of a Monty Python twist to it. So,
yeah,
okay.
It just reminded me of that.
Well, tripping on memory lane, Mark.
Yes. Thank you, know, you, Mark.
You might want to check out the worst film of all time. One of the worst films of all time. It was Zardoz.
Zardoz?
Zardoz.
I've never heard. What is Zardoz?
It's this giant floating rock head in the sky, and it promotes guns.
Is this a current movie?
Yes. Or? It promotes firearms.
Zardoz.
And where we kind of thin out the herds on Earth with these firearms. So Zardoz floats into the scene, dumps all these rifles out of his mouth, and he talks somehow. I don't know, just some, you know, voice out there. And he tells everybody to go out and start shooting people. So
this is from 1974, a science fantasy film. Way back in 74. Wow, that's...
Sean Connery starred in that monster movie.
See that? Yeah.
It's just one of the worst things you could ever imagine. Oh,
wow.
Yeah, it's definitely a party movie. You just have it on in the background and people are going to watch that thing. Okay. You know, and the thing is that Sean Connery's almost naked throughout the entire damn movie. You know? I mean, he's sliding down hillsides and nothing. I don't know.
So in 1974, he was done being 007. They had moved on from him, I think.
So at that
right,
point.
Right, yeah. So he was probably looking for work. Needed a few bucks, pay the rent.
You should have insisted on having a second edition of Darby O'Gill and the Little People. You know, I keep pushing
that
movie.
That's another one. You have all these obscure movies I've never heard of.
Well, what? Darby O'Gill and the Little People is one of the great special effects movies of all time. It has a banshee in it, and it's a great-looking, ghostly banshee. It's just a really terrific movie. Plus, the special effects with the little people. Wow.
Okay.
Incredible stuff. But anyway, Sean Connery. Not a big comeback movie for him. All right. Let's get to...
What do you got for us this morning?
Well, I was going to play a web wisdom for everybody, but it looks like I won't be able to do that right now. I'll just get to this. Time. How about this? Okay. J.D. Vance burned a Twitch star. It's Hassan Piker. And Hassan apparently is using a shock collar on his dog, although he denies it. He says it just vibrates. Okay, I'm sure that they have a vibrating collar for dogs. I don't know what that would do exactly, but anyway, this is a little clip from J.D. Vance getting very angry about people that are cruel to animals, Christy Noem. Here we go. Oh, it's 250. Cut 250.
There we go. Thank you.
You can't read my mind?
Yeah. Here we go.
Here we go.
He has this command, place, which is basically if I snap my finger and point, he will run to that place and lay down.
You don't have to zap him.
No, not like Hassan Piker. No,
Wasn't that disgusting?
No electrocution of dogs here.
How disgusting is that? What does that tell you about a person?
Well, I think it tells you that they're not
that they're bad people. Yes. If you can actually cause suffering to an innocent animal, you're probably the kind of person who doesn't worry about suffering in people as well.
Yeah.
And that's been my experience. If you mistreat dogs, that's almost 100% sign that you're going to be a really terrible person. So that's one of the ways, you know, we really sort of test people is if Atlas responds well to them, if they like Atlas, we know they're good people. But you can tell if somebody's really mean to animals.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the Jeffrey Dahmer thing.
Yeah.
Like every serial killer ever has actually been really bad to animals. That's sort of how they started.
Then that's how Christine Ohm became a big star on the right.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, that's J.D. Vance cutting down people like Christine Ohm.
Coming right back with more WMDX.
Here comes the helicopter. Second time today. Everybody scatters and hopes it goes away. How many kids they've murdered, only God can say.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning, 92.7.
Haven't heard that song in a long time.
Yeah. Bruce Coburn.
Bruce Coburn.
Yeah.
Canadian, right?
Yep.
Yeah. If I had a rocket launcher. Catchy. Okay. We've got sunshine this morning, clear skies. It's a beautiful start. 43 degrees, highs in the upper 50s today. Let's go to the phones.
All right.
Joe is on the line from Madison. Good morning, Joe. Go ahead.
Great information, as always. I just wanted to take up on 2 points that you just had in this last half hour. You spoke of the man who had been arrested for playing the Imperial March behind the National Guard, and has been sought, you know, gone to a lawsuit. And it made me think about, there was in Switzerland, they had a demonstrations against a right-wing group. And what they did was, the right-wing group is walking down the city street, and they had a group of tuba players following behind with it playing a march. And, you know, it did kind of cast a different tone on things. And one of the things that's so great about music is it tells you how to feel. So I was thinking about, you know, some of the other songs that they could have played behind the National Guard that they might not have liked. For example, circus music, Beer Barrel Polka, Fight the Power, maybe Volga Boatman. And it just then I thought, God, there's a wonderful way to wrap this up, because with J.D. Vance being so breathtakingly stupid, yes, yet again, to bring up Christine Ohm, anybody who's evil to dogs is an evil person. No kidding, J.D., and you're looking at good old Christy. So I think there is apparently song lyrics to Old Yeller that include the lyrics that come back, Yeller, best doggone dog in the West, that kind of thing. Surely something could be done with either creating or taking off of one of the old songs that relates to dogs, and just follow Christy around with the dog song. Yeah. I mean, it's just,
well, that's a great idea.
Yeah. In honor of little Cricket, you know, we feel so bad that 2-year-old Cricket departed too early because of the bullet in its head.
Yeah.
Right.
So let's use music in the same way that we've used inflatables. Let's use music to send a message.
Yes.
So that's my 2 cents.
All right. Guys. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Great idea.
Yep.
608-879-8255.
JD didn't know it, but he was putting Christine Ohm in the same place that Jeffrey Dahmer's in. All right. Did you find something on that? No. Okay. I know when I saw Old Yeller when I was a little kid.
Oh,
I was traumatized. Yes. I could not accept the fact that that had happened.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And I don't think my parents confirmed it to me. Yeah.
They kept you in the dark.
Yeah, they kept me in the dark on that. I found out only later on when I watched the movie in a nostalgic mode that I was in, and it didn't leave me very happy. Wow.
It was a Disney movie, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Wow.
You know, like Bambi's mom burning to death.
Okay.
You know, that wasn't a good thing either. But, you know, there was a different mood back then. You know? You could be this dark.
Yeah. Did you hear this other story about J.D. Vance over the weekend? He was at an event with Erica Kirk, you know, Charlie Kirk's widow.
Yes.
And this was down at the University of Mississippi, I believe. And they had, I don't know, she was there, he was there. They had an embrace that lasted a little too long and maybe was a little too close. I mean, this is all over the place now, both left and right.
Well, I thought, you know, innocently, talking about you know, this. She just got a little exuberant, you know, grabbing his head, running her hand through his hair. Wow.
Yeah.
There was a little extreme.
It was not just a friendly hug. It hit
the social media fan, and wow.
Yeah.
That was it. Everybody's now, you got to wonder, you know, why is J.D. making so many appearances on the Charlie Kirk channel?
Right? Well, there's that. And then he made some remarks at the same event where they had this big hug. He made some remarks about his wife, Usha, saying that he hopes that she will leave her Hindu faith. And she's Hindu. And
convert to Christianity
because all three of their children are being raised as Christians. Yep. And the two older ones are attending Christian school. So that's in the works, too. And she doesn't
Why can't he just let her have her faith and leave her alone? Mm-hmm. That's what's wrong with these Christians. They really kind of foist their faith on everybody else, thinking that that's a good thing. No, just leave us alone. The faith is supposed to be celebrated by yourself, alone, in private. Mm. That's according to the Bible. So why not do that, you know?
Mm.
But yes, that hand grasp of JD's head was
there's something odd about that.
Something not right.
but you know,
social media might just be right sometime, you know, in its exuberism to accentuate these moments.
One of the headlines, back to talking about his wife, Usha, and getting her to change to a Christian. J.D. Vance, here's the headline. J.D. Vance seems to think his wife is going to hell. so he wants to save her from that.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Well, you know, the administration isn't big on immigrants either.
Mm.
Yeah. Even immigrant wives. So this is the whole crazy thing that's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, we have Melania. All these people on the right side of the aisle who are against immigrants are married to foreigners. What the hell? I mean, these are the people in power.
Yeah.
Very strange stuff.
It is 6:59, and coming up in our next hour, we're going to clear the decks. We're going to have a dumpster fire Monday, right?
Yes.
Maybe?
Yeah. Well, we've got a lot of new information as well,
Okay. We'll have to keep the fires to a minimum here because of the wind. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, what a day to have a dumpster fire.
News, weather, and sports, and then we're back with more of John and Gordy for a Monday morning, WMDX.
Do it and prove there's nothing to it, and that's how a good dog should be. Here you are, come back, you are. Best doggone dog in the West. Best doggone dog in the West.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A civic media.